Welcome to Messy Business, the podcast that helps solo business owners think better, not just know more. I'm Libby Langley, and each week I uncover the messy truth behind the internet's favourite business advice, assumptions, and aspirations, helping you decide what's actually right for you and your business. Let's get started with this week's episode. Let's talk about productivity today. I think that we are addicted to feeling productive. You know, because if you are busy, you're more productive. Productive people achieve more. We need to optimize everything. We need to have morning routines. We can use AI to simplify and get more stuff done in less time. There are apps for everything, to make everything simpler and more straightforward. There are systems you can time block. Inbox zero is the dream. The implication of that, all that, is that if you're tired, you must have had a productive day. Whew. And that's what we're going to talk about today in this week's episode of Messy Business. So, you know, productivity. I'm tired just thinking about being productive. No, that's not true. But it's the whole busyness associated with productivity. I think we need to separate the two out and actually just talk about productivity and why it is associated, not necessarily with achievement, with what you've actually done, but with how much time you've filled often. And I, one thing that's kind of quite weird is how, if you are, you know, if you are really productive, it's like, yeah, but how can you be more productive? And it's like, well, what's wrong with just being as productive as I have been? Why do I need to continue to optimize myself? Why can I not just use the time that I've got left to do something else that is perhaps entirely unproductive, but just really joyful, like going for a walk or having a pot around the garden or watching telly? You know, not everything has to be productive, I would say. Oh, you know, that's a controversial statement right there. So, all right. So where does productivity come from? Well, I mean, I think probably originally from factories and stuff, right? So, you know, productivity originally, it meant output. So how many widgets have you made? How many hours? How many people? And that really, I mean, that does make sense in manufacturing because there are specific things like that that you can measure. And if one of your machines is not calibrated quite correctly, then yes, you lose, you know, you lose efficiency in the system. And so that makes sense. But it doesn't make sense when it's us as a service provider, as a kind of sole trader. You can certainly be more efficient and more effective, right? But that's not necessarily the same as just measuring output. Because when you're doing knowledge work, which quite a lot of us do, you know, I do an awful lot of that, things like thinking, so it takes a lot of time, but thinking, writing, having ideas, being creative, building relationships, things like that, they don't happen on command. And there isn't like a prompt you can put into yourself to magic these things out. They take time. And there isn't necessarily any finite limit on that. You know, some relationships that prove to be very fruitful might have taken 10 years to nurture. In fact, I had a client who, a program that I used to run, she was part of that program. And I was first introduced to her by a web company that I used to, they did my website. We used to pass a lot of clients each way. And I reckon that was in 2013, probably, when I was introduced to this person, because I used to manage social media accounts when I ran my business as an agency. And the web company that we both used for our website thought that we would be a good connection. So I can't remember if we ever had a conversation or not back then, but certainly we didn't end up working together. However, she was on my email list. She came onto my email list. And I just continued to send emails over the next 10 years. And eventually I sent one that just clicked for her. And she just replied to it and said, you know what, I really do need your help. And we worked together in my program. We worked together for good. Actually, we worked together one-to-one to start with. I'm sorry. We worked together one-to-one to start with for, can't remember, maybe about 6 months or something like that. And then after a bit of a gap of a year or so, she then joined my program. So I actually worked with her twice. So that was, you know, that was something that was a 10-year nurture. And so in terms of productivity, if you're measuring the output on that, terrible, right? Terrible. The amount of hours that went into all those emails and all that contact and all that everything over that 10-year period was, you know, almost impossible to measure. However, these things, this is the nature of often of service-based businesses, that people are just around, just observing, and then eventually something kind of twigs, and that's what we need, and that's what they need in order to be able to make the decision. And that's something that you can't kind of optimize too much. It's certainly not an output that you can measure that specifically. It's about a culmination of all the hundreds of touch points that you've had with other people and then they've had with them, and that marries it all up in order to bring you together. So how do you productivize that? Well, you can't really. You can't really. But yet, there is an entire industry built around productivity. There are many, many books about productivity, and I've got quite a lot of them. You know, I think I'm really interested in productivity, and I think I first understood that it was a concept when I used to work for a college before I started my business, and we did courses on Kaizen and Six Sigma and stuff like that, because we worked with quite a lot of manufacturing. I was in the commercial training department. I ran that. And so we did a lot of commercial training for people. We worked with quite a lot of factories and manufacturing things. And these actual, you know, lean efficiencies, lean productivity, I'd say Six Sigma and Kaizen, really interesting techniques in terms of how to be more efficient and how to be more linear and how to cut out a lot of infrastructure and hierarchy and all these things. And it, fascinating concept. And when I did my management qualifications, I did the certificate in management studies, did the diploma in management studies, and then I did an MBA. And all of those bring levels of that, of kind of productivity into them. And the same, you know, lean systems and all that. And I think it's a really, really interesting concept about, well, actually, if you just don't do that bit and you go straight from A to C, you don't need B, nothing breaks, but you've gained a little bit of time. And it's just making me laugh, because there's just a conversation we had with some friends on Saturday. And we were talking about unloading the dishwasher, right? And if this isn't a level, a lesson in productivity, I don't know what is. But my friend, the females, us two females, we take the thing out of the dishwasher and put it straight in the cupboard, right? You take a couple of plates out, you put them straight. Mine are in a drawer, pan drawers, but put them straight in the drawer. You take the knives out, you put them straight in the drawer. No. The men, my husband and her partner, no. They take everything out of the dishwasher and put it on the side. And then from the side, they put it in the respective cupboard or drawer. And we're like, that's so inefficient. Why are you adding the extra stage in? And I wondered, and they argued as much as they could as to why that was the far better way of doing it. But I still can't see it. Just to me, it's just huge, wholly inefficient. But it's a really nice real world example. And I wonder if there's an element of, kind of the way that the gender stereotypes, perhaps, or gender ways of thinking, gendered ways of thinking about things, in the women still are are often the kind of primary house administrator. And so, you know, we think about we don't just think about what's in the fridge. We think about what's going to be needed for food for the rest of the week. Do you know, it's rather it holding all those things and birthdays and appointments. And I don't know, if you've got kids, then all the kids' activities. And often it will be the women that are thinking about all that household administration, as well as working, as well as this and as well as that. And I'm sure there's some research somewhere about gendered brain wiring and biological, so it should be biological sex wiring, I think, rather than gendered. But I think it's quite interesting. Maybe it's a neurodivergent thing too. You know, I'm autistic, so I automatically look for the quickest and efficient way of doing things. I see patterns all the time. I just can't help it. That's kind of just the logic of the way my brain works. I'm also ADHD, but on that, the autism is definitely way stronger than that. Whereas my husband goes down the full ADHD route of, okay, let's do this, but let's do 37 other things in the middle. So I think there's an element of that too. But it's quite interesting. We can look at ourselves and the way that we think, and that can give us a clue in the way that we work. But emptying a dishwasher is a really good way to just see where you are on the whole productivity scale. And your arguments for why yours is the most productive way or not. So the productivity is enormous, right? Multi-billion industry. There are books about it. There are apps. There are courses you can go on to learn how to be more productive. But the irony comes when people spend more time organising their work than actually doing it. And I know I've done this too, right? We started off using If This Then That. I mean, that's going to be nearly 15 years ago. Me and my team were using that. Zapier now is probably a much more widely used thing, where you can set up automation triggers and stuff like that's really cool, right? Because it stops you having to think about doing the thing in the middle. So an email marketing is another thing, right? If somebody joins your email list, you set up an automation so that they get a nice welcome email and then have maybe a few other emails. And, you know, that stuff is super productive and super efficient and a really, really good way of kind of being better at what you're doing, right? And not forgetting about things. But it's when you try and add in the same layers of productivity and efficiency, just, you know, into your thinking. And I think AI is one of the biggest criminals here, in that you can spend an hour talking with chat, going to and froing with ChatGPT about how to be more efficient at doing something when you could have just done the thing in that time, right? And yes, I've done it too. You've done it too. We all know we've done it, right? Because you're looking for a better way of doing something. But sometimes the better way of doing something is just doing the thing, you know? Sometimes productivity, it doesn't have to be systemized. It just means just get it done, right? And procrastination is also something that comes into this, because if you don't want to do the thing, it can be hard to do the thing. And therefore, we can busy ourselves with all sorts of things that aren't actually the thing. But, oh my goodness me, I'm tired because I've been so busy today. What have you actually achieved? Well, you know, nothing really. Well, so you weren't productive then, were you? That's a way to think about it, right? If you do measure on output, and for output, we substitute output for to-do list or things I want to achieve today. Well, turns out you might have got them done by lunchtime. So then go and do something else. You don't have to then continue to sit at your desk and continue to be working, because that's what productivity is all about. It's like, no, if you've got the things done, da-da, you've done it, right? Because I think there's something that's quite interesting is there's a concept called Parkinson's Law, which is when work expands to fill the time available. So if you give yourself a week, it takes a week. If you give yourself 2 hours, it often still gets finished. And it's always true mostly, or unwritten truth that, you know, if you want something done, you give it to either a woman who works part-time and also has a family and, you know, all these things, and it will just get done. Or, you know, the person who is like going the day before they go on holiday. Because they crack, you know what it's like? You crack through stuff at an absolute rate of knots because you are not messing about. So if you compare the day before you go on holiday with the day after you come back, wildly different in terms of what you will achieve. And we all know that, right? And I think there is a bit of a planning fallacy here as well. You know, we are consistently optimistic about how long things take. So I do that with gardening. You know, we'll just go and sort out the front garden. Just a few bits of weeds that we need to get out, and I want to trim a couple of bushes. Yeah, take us about an hour. I actually think it might have been 2.5, and there really wasn't that much to do. But because it's such a joyful thing, gardening for me, can completely get lost in it. So there were other things that we needed to do, and we didn't quite get onto them all because of that. But we can do that in any work. Any work, and particularly the creative work, stuff like the thinking, the writing, the ideas, the relationship building, it can take 10 years. It's not like you go to a networking meeting, you come walk out with loads of clients. That doesn't really work like that, right? But there is a big appeal to it that's completely understandable, that productivity absolutely feels controllable, and life isn't, clients aren't, sales aren't, the economy isn't. Checking 20 emails is very controllable. You know, color coding your whatever productivity software, your Notion, something that you use, feels lovely. All feels like progress, right? But being productive and moving your business forward are not the same thing. I do not believe. Because busy, it's often just anxiety badged by a different name, isn't it really? And sometimes we organize things because organization feels safer than action, or feels like a useful procrastination. Yeah. And, you know, messiness, I find it really stressful. I don't like mess. I don't like disorganization. And so sometimes tidying stuff does make me feel better. Having a good sort out is one of the most glorious things that I can do, which is why my service is business sort outs, because it's just like, oh my God, it's just so satisfying, because you end up with just real calm at the end of it and direction. But sometimes that can be a procrastination technique, and actually the organising stuff isn't the important stuff to do. So check yourself, I think, and think about what you're doing. And the highest value work is often the invisible work. And that's what you might think, like you're not being productive because it's not output driven. But honestly, it's the best stuff. Like thinking, like deciding, stopping, like saying no to stuff, resting, talking to people, walking, listening, these things, they're all really high value work. So working with someone on your business, or taking the day out to just not think about your business, or to just mull from a distance, really, really productive, right? Really productive because of the clarity of mind that you get and the decisions you can make, but isn't output driven. So this is where you have to think carefully about what productivity means to you, right? And something I've talked about a lot on this podcast before, and I say to every single client I ever work with, I talk about daily non-negotiables. I've done whole episodes on this previously, so scroll right back and find one about daily non-negotiables. Because what a daily non-negotiable is right today, if I do these three things every morning or every day, it is going to move my business forward, or my life forward, or my, I don't know, running technique forward, or whatever it is that your goal is, okay? So if you do those three things, you know it's going to make a difference. And then it stops this productivity, busyness, anxiety, time-filling stuff, faffing. And actually, if you know that those things are going to make a difference, then you do them. And that is super productive. Because if you know that you reply to all the emails in your inbox, if you do that first thing, you reply to all the inquiries in your inbox. If you know that for every 10 inquiries you reply to, you'll get one client booked in, for example, or five clients booked in, why would you not make that a priority? And then actually, maybe that's all you need to do, apart from delivering the work, but maybe that's all you need to do. And it suddenly magics this time. It just does. It magics time because you're able to then go do something else. And well, if you do that thing first, if you have these daily non-negotiables and you decide what they are, and you do that first before anything else, your business is moving forwards. And then you can faff about as much as you like for the rest of the day because it doesn't really matter. You see, it's just about putting priorities on what is actually important. And honestly, I think a lot of productivity is just about defining the priorities. It just is. Productivity is not about how much quicker or more efficiently can we do stuff. It's like what actually matters, knowing what actually is going to make a difference and what's going to move things forward. That's what productivity is all about. And if you get it down to, if I just do these three things every day, these daily non-negotiables, and it takes me 2 hours, and then, you know, the delivery takes however long the delivery takes, and suddenly you've halved your working hours, well, da-da! And it's because you just cut out all the stuff that you didn't need. You know, we all have things in our business that we don't need to do, but there's a fear of not doing them because everyone else is doing them, or it's what we're supposed to do, or it's how you run a business, or it's that course that you went and told you that you need to do all this stuff in order to be successful, in order to get ahead, in order to blah, 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 blah. And it's like, yeah, maybe that's not true. Maybe actually, if I just go to some networking, talk to some people, continue to talk to people, send out some emails, have a podcast, you know, that's a bit of visibility, occasionally post on social media, maybe that's enough. Maybe that's enough to get you what you need. Yeah? Maybe that's enough. I'm not saying you need to have a podcast, but I have a podcast, obviously, because you're listening to it. But, you know, maybe that's what you need. Maybe you don't need to spend hours creating content every day for social media because it doesn't really achieve the thing that you want because you're a local service-based business and all your clients are local. Therefore, maybe rather than spending the time creating new downloads for people in Timbuktu or random people off the internet, maybe if you just went to an extra couple of networking meetings locally per week or per month, maybe that's actually more productive and it will take so much less time, so much less time. So I want you to think about what productivity, what you can do productively that will get you to where you want to be. You need to know where you want to be first, and focus on those things and make some of those things daily non-negotiables, right? And just do them. Just do them every day. And then do nothing or faff or whatever. It doesn't matter. But do the thing. Do the thing that really matters. That's honestly the most productive thing that you can do. Absolutely. So instead of asking yourself, how can I be more productive? Ask yourself, what really matters? I'm going to get that shit done then. What deserves my attention today? Because I'm tired and I don't have much energy, which I'm sure is how you also feel a lot of days. And if I only achieved one meaningful thing today, what would it be, right? What would be the thing that really matters? And I really strongly believe that get those things done, answer those questions, you know, not how can I be more productive, but what actually matters? If you do that and you do that first, your business is going to be transformed. And more importantly than that, your time and energy is going to be transformed. Your profit margin is going to be transformed because you're working far fewer hours for the money you're bringing in, which means maybe you can do more delivery, or maybe you can have more fun, or maybe you can do something else with it. You can have a second project or do something else with that time that you've created. It's this kind of constant need to sit at the desk and be busy that is absolutely counterproductive. And also I'm going to read lots of productivity books. I'm going to get all the apps and stuff. That is not in itself productive. Read the books because they're super interesting, right? Implement the bits that are going to make a difference. Use AI when it's genuinely going to save you time and perhaps help untangle your thoughts. Get it to write you a plan, right? Empty your brain and get it to write you a plan of the order that you do things, and then do the things. That's what's really going to make a difference in terms of your productivity. So ask yourself, not how can I be more productive? Do not ask yourself that. But what deserves my attention today? If I achieved one meaningful thing, what would it be? And what can my three, or what should my three daily non-negotiables be? And what am I going to do with all the extra time that I have by just getting on with it? There you go. Okay. Whoo. And it's certainly not about time management, right? This is about kind of breaking the addiction to feeling busy and productive and measuring by output. So I hope you found this one useful. It's a bit of a turning things on their head, which I like to do. I like to take a concept and challenge it and help you think slightly differently about it. So thank you for joining me again for another episode of Messy Business. I've been Libby Langley. See you next week. Bye. If this episode of Messy Business made you think differently, why not share it with someone who might need to hear it too? And if you're enjoying the show, make sure you're following wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss future episodes. Until next time, remember, change how you work, not who you are.